From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The list of Atlanta landmarks now includes the Big A Car Wash, where Outkast shot a video, and Magic City, name-dropped by T.I., Young Jeezy, and Future, and several other rappers. Hip-hop has changed the profile of what has been called the city to player to hate. For 15 years now, the A3C conference has been a nexus for makers, fans, and movers of the business. This year, speakers will address the roles of social justice and women in the industry, along with plenty of chances for engagement with artists like Wu-Tang Clan, Lil Wayne, and many, many others. So we're continuing our conversation about the Atlanta hip-hop scene with Mike Walbert. He's the A3C executive director, and also with Jewel Wicker. She's an entertainment reporter, and Drez the Beatnik, who's going to be one of the hosts this weekend. So all I want to just point out that Atlanta's rise in hip-hop pretty much solidified in the mid-90s. Goody Mob and Outkast among the prime movers there. Here's Andre 3000 at the 1995 Source Awards.
But it's like this, though. I'm tired of folks, you know what I'm saying? The closed-minded folks, you know what I'm saying? It's like we got a demo tape and don't nobody want to hear, but it's like this, the South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
I have to note that Mike Walbert is wearing a shirt that has that exact quote in it. It's like the South has something to say, and that's all I'm saying. So what is it that distinguished the sound of Southern hip hop?
Man, it's tough to say. I think it, to me, it's a melting pot of music, right? You have, at the time, a really fast-growing city of people from the South, the East, the West. And I think that sound comes together. You have funk being brought into hip hop. You've got, you know, all these different elements. And I think it was just a new wave. I think when people said it, when they said they heard Southern hip hop for the first time, they could feel like they were in the South.
Huh.
There's a feeling to the music that I think is a little bit slower, a little bit more melodic maybe, but also has that twang.
Drez, you came from Philly, right?
Born and raised.
So what brought you to Atlanta?
For me anyway, it's more so about the people than about solely the sound. Like, I'm a firm believer in helping artists get where they need to get to, which is one of the reasons why I'm so much of a staunch, you know, a strong supporter of A3C.
Well, hip-hop has now surpassed rock as the most popular music genre in the nation. And Jewel, I mean, so many talented artists out there, but can you give us any insight on the industry, like how people, particular people, rise through in the industry, especially here in Atlanta?
We really support each other. And I think that's because going back to when Andre made that statement, through several of our iterations with hip hop, we've always kind of felt like the underdogs and like we had something to prove, you know, like. And so I think we want to make sure that when our own gets on that main stage and when the spotlight is on us, we look good. So Atlanta artists are certainly competitive. I think there is a, like, that Southern hospitality is here. And it's that desire that when you're on and you're making Atlanta shine, that's going to keep the spotlight on so I can come up next and I can shine too.
So, Mike, any business insight or background on that? Is there a particular network or is there a people you know element to people who've kind of almost become overnight sensations?
There are a few key stakeholders in Atlanta that really put on for Atlanta. Like, it's not, you know, it's not hundreds of people. There's a couple dozen people in Atlanta that I think have the ability and use their platform to take talent to the next level. And they do that. We have the best farm system, though. Like, the talent, like, I'm not going to lie, like, we've got the best farm system. Like, there's a reason the Braves were good for 20 years. They had the best farm system.
Everybody's going to tends to copy what happens here.
That's the story of Atlanta.
We're the new Trenton. Atlanta makes, the world takes. Simple. That's what we do here.
I think trap music is probably one of the really good examples of that.
Very much so.
And there's a lot of tension, or there's a lot of question about where trap was created.
You live here.
All
you
right.
know. You live right at the home of it. This is ground zero.
I think T.I. is doing a pop-up museum for trap music, and it's going to highlight everybody from 21 Savage to Rick Ross, Future, Gucci Mane, Shotty Low. And I know we debate whether or not T.I. is the actual person who started trap music, but it's tied to the 15th anniversary of his album, Trap Music. And I think that I'm so excited about that because that is just a chance for us to see the breadth of trap music and how embedded it is in Atlanta culture.
So some people are very upset about the potential pick of Maroon 5 as the Super Bowl headliner.
Yeah.
So, this is interesting because the Gridiron has become a bit of a cultural battleground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that plays into that in your mind.
So I have an interesting thought about it. I obviously, as someone who was born and raised in Atlanta, I would like to see Atlanta on the Super Bowl halftime stage, hands down. But someone brought up a point that I thought was really interesting. You know, it was reported years ago that they approached Outkast about doing the Super Bowl, and Outkast said no.
Really? Why? Do you know?
Yeah, they didn't want to cut their songs.
Mm-mm. Oh, they didn't want to do that, like the sort of medley montage thing. Yeah,
and I think now when you look at the NFL and kind of the contentiousness that's going on with the NFL right now, I just wonder, and I mean, I don't know, but I wonder if maybe they did approach artists behind the scenes in Atlanta, artists was like, nah.
Not to sound like a broken record, but if you do
the money.
If you do the Super Bowl show, you're not going to get a check. You're going to promote, they're going to promote you, but it is a non-paid gig. If you are in Atlanta and you're an Atlanta artist and the whole world's coming here, do you know how many corporations are going to pay you to perform in their private party? Yeah. And these are not small checks.
Right.
So
at all.
I think they ran the numbers. I think they got their calculator out and just said, you know, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 3.
The initial outrage was valid. I'm not saying that it wasn't valid. I understand fans being mad, but I think if you think about it on the larger perspective, we're good.
So Atlanta, we're going to close with the Atlanta hip hop scene thriving. We're good.
We've already
looking in the right direction.
And I will say this, just like JT did something for an honorary performance of Prince, there will be an Atlanta representation at halftime. I guarantee
There's
it.
There's no way that there
I
isn't.
I just guarantee. That's a Mike Wahlberg guarantee. Atlanta will be represented at halftime. It will not be Maroon 5 playing their hits. And if it is Maroon 5, somehow we will incorporate an Atlanta artist. That's a guarantee. Everyone relax. Chill out.
I'm pretty confident in that, too.
And Maroon 5 has Atlanta representation in its band and the one and only PJ Morton.
Yep. Fact check.
Yeah. Yeah.
And PJ is dope.
Got Wikipedia out?
No, I know PJ.
No, but PJ is dope. PJ
I'm
is,
Wikipedia.
Yeah. No.
We are right. We're in from Drez, Wikipedia beatnik.
There it is.
Thank you so much. He's going to be one of the hosts at the A3C conference this weekend. Our executive director, Mike Wahlberg, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And Jill Wicker, she's an entertainment reporter. We're going to keep hearing from you. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
There are many details on the events and performances. That's at our website, gpbnews.org.